Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Okay, if you've been paying attention over the last couple weeks, and I know that you have, because you guys are a paying attention kind of audience, otherwise you wouldn't be here, because I know I'm funny, I know I'm entertaining, I know I'm a little smart. But the whole point, because I talk so quickly, is that you have to pay attention, and the fact that you listen to Christian Talk Radio means you're willing to do that. You know the value of that we can all be learning all the time, and that's what I try to do all the time, and that's what I try to share with you all the time. I'm really just a pass-through. I'm a conduit. I'm a tool. I try to be a tool in the Lord's hands for things that glorify Him and help His people and help outsiders as well. And so the last couple of weeks, if you've been paying attention, you would have been hearing these commercials that we've been running for a webinar coming up on Monday, January 6th, this coming Monday at noon. So it's during the lunch break at noon Eastern time, 12 noon Eastern time, with our friend Stephen Scoggins at Journey Principles, journeyprinciples.com. You might probably heard the phrase from stuck to unstoppable, which is really Stephen's life story and not just business-wise and what's happened with the transformation of his life, but his faith as a business owner and as a follower of Christ and as a father and as a husband. So there's this life of excellence that we all try to live, but we all need help. We tend to do it on our own. That's kind of the American thing. We pull ourselves up by our bootstraps, but only Jesus Christ himself can handle isolation. The rest of us all need help, and especially you need help from one another. So when you find somebody whose life is going well, not perfectly, but somebody that knows how to make a plan and plan their work and work their plan and come through adversity, that's certainly the story of Stephen Scoggins. It's always good to see you, buddy. Happy New Year. Welcome back.
Happy New Year, man. Good to see you. Happy to be here.
So Disney, Christmas time, Disney, that was cool.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I got my lightsaber shots. I got to be my young self all over again, which is pretty incredible.
Yeah, totally geeked out. Yeah, it looked like you guys were having fun.
Yeah, my wife was like, what in the world is
what? What
I'm
happened
like,
to
you? You love Minnie, Mickey and Minnie. I'm going to stick to Star Wars.
Yeah, see, I think that's pretty good balance right there.
Yeah.
That's a balance there in the Scoggins family. Anyway, it's great to see you. It's great to have you on. Excited for the webinar coming up on Monday. Yeah. That's a free webinar, by the way. 30, 40 minutes at the most on the lunch break. So tell us about that, because this is a great opportunity. You can't go too deep in 35 or 40 minutes, but it's going to be helpful.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the reality is most people stay stuck in their life. Simply because they don't know any other way.
Yeah.
They're so focused on the life that they've always known, they forget that it's possible to build the life that they want. And when you take those things, you start to dissect them, there's several key things that they can do like right away to go ahead and start getting momentum and traction like today, tomorrow. You know what I'm saying? You don't have to go, I think, especially in the life mastery space, whether it be secular or faith-based world, one of the things that I see most often is people way overcomplicate stuff. Like way overcomplicate it.
Yeah.
And I learned a long time ago that if you're going to be able to take action on something that actually makes sense, the best thing that you can possibly do is to actually make it as bite-sized and as easily digestible as possible. And we thought that the webinar would be a really good, really, really good way to go ahead and get some people help now, today, that maybe 2019 wasn't maybe their best year. Maybe they left some excellence. They didn't ring the excellence bell. Maybe their marriage wasn't as strong as they wanted it to. Maybe they've had children issues. Maybe they got a wayward son or a wayward daughter they're trying to wrangle in. And maybe they got moved over from the promotion that they wanted. Maybe their finances are a disarray. All of those things were me.
Yeah.
Like all of those things. And I learned a long time ago that there are really three specific purposes in life. The first one is serving the person you used to be, which I'm all about. So I want to go out there and find the people who are hungry for change, who really want change, and are willing to do whatever it takes to really make that change a reality.
Yeah.
And I found myself, obviously, back in the day in the 98 when I was homeless and stuff like that, that's where I found myself. If I didn't change, the alternative was death.
Yeah.
Right? So, and my goal was to get to people long before they have to get that far down the pipeline and get them the help they need today. You know, the second one is serving the person you once loved. So you think about Susan G. Coleman and all these different nonprofits that come out. All of that came out of a love.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, great point.
Yeah, one of the evangelists that I tend to follow, this kind of resonated with me, the guy by the name of Todd White, dreadlock guy, all kinds of stuff like that. Just love the guy to death. But One of the things that I saw out of him is his entire ministry. Now, he's changing lives all over the place for Jesus, like all over the place.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, country. Prolific. Yeah, it's he's created a movement of his own, and the entire thing is built on not being able to save his best friend before he passed.
Yeah.
You know, so your greatest purpose in life is hidden in those things. And far too many times, I think that, call it devil, call it Satan, call it life or whatever, it throws so much at you that you're staying distracted on a regular basis.
Sure.
Right? So.
Yeah, I think we kind of muddle through.
Yeah.
I've said this for years. It's amazing what we can get used to and all that you do, whether you're to drink to all of the glory of God. And when we're not maximizing the gifting and the abilities and the aptitude he's given us, we're not glorifying him as much as we should. God expects us to be excellent. He wants us to be excellent. Now, that doesn't mean you make a certain amount of money. Success can look differently in everybody's
lives.
But for maximizing our own personal potential, because we're made in the image of God, I think most of us kind of settle for a lot less than what he would have for us.
Almost all of us live a life of settling. You know, Time Magazine did a poll not too long ago, and 33% of all Americans that actually responded to the poll would say that they live an unfulfilled life.
Yeah.
And at that moment, that's 240 million people by my math that I had available to. And that didn't even include the millennial generation who had, I hate to say this in many ways, had been mistold the truth, so to speak, of what life was supposed to be and how that goes about. So they come out of the gate looking for, okay, life's my oyster. I'm going to make this happen. It's going to do this. I'm going to do this. And only to find out that relationships are hard. Finding employment that you love isn't hard. You know, is hard. Yeah. Managing your checkbook is not as easy as, you know, Gary Vee and these guys make it sound like. You know what I'm saying? So you go through this entire struggle. And, you know, I find that, you know, one of the reasons that most people's resolutions and stuff in life fail, which is something we want to counteract this year, is because they forget that resolution is built on the word resolve. Mm. Right? You got to be committed.
Right.
You have to have a plan. You've got to have people that you can align yourself with that you mentioned too at the beginning of the show that you can actually learn what techniques are for.
That's right.
I'm sitting in this chair right now, not only because of Jesus, but also every key mentor that Jesus put in my life to get me here. How else do you explain a homeless kid owning several successful companies, employing several hundred people?
Well, that's your story. That's my story, is that God was kind enough to place people in our lives that could make that kind of difference.
Absolutely.
But then it's our choice. It's your choice, Stephen. It's my choice whether I'm going to listen.
Yeah.
Number one, am I going to listen to what they have to say?
Mm-hmm.
Number two, am I going to take notes in one way or another? Number three, am I going to take action on what I'm learning? I mean, Steve Noble Christian in 2002 and Steve Noble Christian in 2020, one of the biggest things that affected who I am today versus who I was then is that these people that God placed in my life, and I learned from them, which is the whole point of the webinar coming up on Monday, January 6th. We're going to dive into that. What are you going to learn? It's going to be a tight 35 to 40 minutes, but a lot of content there, kind of three different areas. So we'll talk about that with Stephen Scoggins from the Journey Principles. JourneyPrinciples.com/webinar to get signed up. It's totally free. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, here today with another Steve, but he goes by Steven, which actually we have the same spelling. The name on my birth certificate is Steven with a PH.
Yeah.
I don't know that that means anything.
Well, it just means we're more brotherly kin than not. My mother would spank me if I changed my name to any way, shape, or form.
Yeah, that would be bad. I knew I was in trouble when my parents would say Stephen Brian Noble as opposed to just Steve. But Stephen Scoggins is here, journeyprinciples.com/webinar. If you've been listening to the show, especially the last couple of weeks, you've heard these ads playing every hour during the show. This coming up Monday, January 6th, the free webinar, really going from stuck to unstoppable. It's on the lunch break by design, so it's 12 p.m. Eastern time on Monday, 35, 40 minutes with Stephen. And Stephen's been down a lot of roads. He's been very successful, born-again follower of Jesus Christ, a very good friend of mine, and passionate about helping people. Life mastery skills, life skills. We don't get taught these, really. This isn't a college thing.
They don't
thing.
Teach it to you in school.
We don't teach it. We learn it. Most of us learn it the hard way.
Yeah.
And some of us have the advantage of having mentors or people that kind of take us under their wings if we're humble enough to listen. But what drives you? Because I was saying this off the air during the break, so our friends on Facebook Live heard it, but not anybody on the radio. Because Stephen runs a very successful business. You don't have to. This isn't a financial consideration. You're not trying to. You don't need to. You don't have some big financial need that you need to meet. You're doing very well. So what drives this for you? Journey Principles, the webinar, all of this.
It goes back to serving the person I once was. I mean, it's that simple. I've been the person in a broken marriage. I've been the person who's been homeless. I've been the person with a broken bank account. I've been the person that has had elements of really toxic relationships. I mean, I've been down a lot of roads, as you've mentioned before, only to find out that there are proven principles that work.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then the world tries, and I use the world loosely, the world term, that tries to throw everything and its brother at you to say, no, this works. This pill works. This over here works. This over here works. This over here works. And I tested and tried all of it. Like, and I still found myself sleeping in a car. So, you know what I'm saying? So what I've tried to do over the last really 5 years since my first book came out, which is, gosh, it's been 5 years now, is go back and really kind of document and pinpoint step by step. Step one, step two, step three. I think a lot of times we go after step three before we've completed step
sure,
one or step 10 before step two, and which is why you get in this rat wheel and you're just circling the rat wheel over and over again. You're like, how come this nothing's working?
And getting nowhere.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, which is super frustrating. And I think most of us know that most people have plenty of improvement.
Absolutely.
I think we recognize it this time of year. We all have our New Year's resolutions. I got to do better here. I got to do better there, which makes for a good couple of weeks. but ultimately, you have desire, but you don't have necessarily you don't have commitment. You don't have a plan. You don't have somebody to help you.
You got distractions. You got life. You know, everybody comes to, a lot of times we'll go to various seminars and stuff like that. This is one of the things I think separates what we try to do for what we see in the marketplace. And that is, you go to rah-rah sessions, you come home, and 2 weeks later, you don't know what you did.
Right, yeah.
You're lost.
Yeah, it doesn't
You know,
stick.
And you have to have follow-through, you got to have a follow-up plan, you got to have people come alongside of you that have actually been there. You know, a lot of our folks that we partner with have stories of their own similar to mine, but also in some cases very different. You know, as a way to make sure that the people that we are trying to help know that we are being empathetic. And we're also trying to make sure that we're being authentic.
Yeah.
You know, because I'm no better than anybody else. No slave's above his master. You know, the only difference between me and someone sitting right now with a broken bank account or broken relationship or maybe stuck in a career they don't want or something like that, the only stinking difference is two things, the plan and then putting in the work.
Yeah, and the follow through.
I went from the homeless thing all the way to not only stabilizing my household, but on the upside within 12 months. Most people underestimate how much they can get done
sure.
in a year, and they overestimate everything else.
Well, we tend to judge ourselves by our brokenness instead of by our creator.
Exactly.
So when you go, okay, because I just wrote a devotional today on Psalm 139, fearfully and wonderfully made, which means you pack a punch. Now, that might mean that you've got potential to be a business owner or just be an excellent mom or an excellent dad or an excellent employee or somebody that works with your hands or somebody that works with your mind. It really doesn't matter, but we have excellence that God has pre-placed in all of us, but we rarely kind of strive for that.
Yeah.
So the free webinar coming up on Monday, again, it's during the lunch break. It's a free webinar, 30 to 40 minutes at 12 noon on Eastern Time on Monday, January 6th. Just go to journeyprinciples.com/webinar. We've got the links up on the Facebook live feed right now, journeyprinciples.com/webinar. It'll be you and Stephen Scoggins for that 35, 40 minutes. I know you've got several hundred people signed up already, but tell us what's going to happen. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's been a huge blessing. What's going to happen is the step one you mentioned a second ago. Step one in getting to the bottom of why you're stuck is understanding why you're stuck. So we're going to tell you exactly how to know why you're stuck. The second piece is we're going to give you a brief framework that you can start whether you do anything after the webinar or not. Call me, email me, or whatever after the fact that you can start using right away to go ahead and start getting traction. The one thing that I think everybody should be focused on this year for 2020 is they got to get down to three specific things. They got to get crazy clear on what drives them, what motivates them, what fires them up, what do they value most, and make sure that's aligned with your life. They got to get to the place where they have a strategic plan that they can follow, and it doesn't have to be complicated.
Yeah.
And that's the secret, right? The programs and the plans that we have are super simple, super easy to digest, and you'll get locked away. And the third thing is you got to be really stinking careful with who you align with.
Oh, man, that's so important.
So much has been wrapped up with my inner circle. I was surrounded by, for many years, broken people doing the best that they could. But how was I going to learn how to become, and I use the word loosely, right? Because I'm monetary means are just a way to bless people from my perspective.
Yeah.
But How does one learn how to think like a millionaire or think like a billionaire or think like a businessman or think like a pastor or an evangelist or anything? How do you do that unless you're hanging out with other people
right,
that have
exactly.
already done it?
Yeah, yeah, oh yeah. Yeah.
Right? That's by design, right?
Well, that's the discipleship program that God put in the Bible.
Absolutely.
That the older teach the younger, men and women, and wisdom is to be passed down.
Well, there's a reason there's apple seeds in every side of every apple.
Yeah. What a shock.
Yeah, right? Duh. Yeah.
Hello.
Kind of thing. So.
Yeah, those have to be. Because I'm looking at the journeyprinciples.com website right now, and it's everything's step one, step two, step three. Step one, learn the process for transformation. Step
clear,
two,
concise.
Overcome your personal hurdles, which is really important because we all have blind spots.
Yep.
I know you're going to talk about that on Monday. And then step three, molding your future into reality, which is creating a plan.
Yep.
We do that. You bring something home from Best Buy or wherever. You pull out the little instructions and it's
70
like one,
pages.
Two, three. Yeah, but there's the deep ones, and then there's, hey, here's how you get it going right now, which is what we're accustomed to.
Yeah.
But that's really what you'll be doing on Monday.
Simple,
straightforward stuff.
Simple, straightforward, easy to adopt, easy to put into practice. We'll have a Q&A after the fact if people have questions and unclear. But we've worked really thinking hard to make sure that we could actually get to the place that we could document it and make it super easy to digest.
Yeah.
You know, everything that we do is about that. My team is constantly asking me to refine, refine. I'm like, really? I've already taken so much content out of that.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah.
Pare it down.
We need to summarize it some more, homie.
Yeah. So. Well, that's good. There's so much good content. And by the way, this is not a one-off coming up in April. We'll talk about this next month sometime. Transform You, which is actually a three-day live event that'll be here in Raleigh. We'll talk about that starting in February. But even on the website, when you go to journeyprinciples.com, with the webinar on Monday, the lunch break webinar, which is free, just go to journeyprinciples.com/webinar. That's just really kind of a jumping off point. You can come away with that, away from that, with tools, with some motivation. But then there's all kinds of resources on journeyprinciples.com. You have all kinds of other ways to keep going deeper and deeper.
Yeah, absolutely. Our idea is to help, no matter what your background is.
Yeah.
And that's what we're about. So.
Yeah, that's awesome. So excited for that. So Monday, coming up on Monday, January 6th. 12 noon Eastern time. It's scheduled specifically for that because if you're at work, that's a great way to spend your lunch break. It's absolutely free. Just go to journeyprinciples.com/webinar. Journeyprinciples.com/webinar with my good friend and my brother in Christ, Stephen Scoggins from Journey Principles. Great seeing you, buddy. Excited for Monday.
Always. Thank you, buddy.
All right, Beth. We'll talk to you later. Okay, we'll be right back right after this break.
So if you're happy in your stuff, and if 10% enough, stay away from Jesus.
Welcome back. Living in monumental days, to say the least. Because I'm sure you've heard by now. If you haven't, hopefully this isn't news to you, but it might be. But the big hit, call it a hit. I'm using that phrase on purpose. Is it a war action? Is it a hit? Is it an assassination? Some people are using that phraseology with the Iranian leader of the Revolutionary Guard Corps, Soleimani, who is a nasty, nasty man who's been killing Americans for years and leading the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, the Quds Force in Iran. These are terrorist people. They're psychotic. They are the deep end of the bad side of Islam. And this guy has been kind of running up that flag in our face, America's face, and the world's face for years. So if Obama had taken him out, everybody would be talking about what a great, bold, decisive move by President Obama. But since it's President Trump, now it's assassination. It's an abuse of power once again. It's probably another impeachable offense. It's a declaration of war, which is supposed to be done by Congress, yada, yada, yada. So the Democrats and the media are going ballistic. This is from Daily Wire. And just look at something like Bernie Sanders. When I voted against the war in Iraq in 2002, I feared it would lead to greater destabilization of the region. That fear unfortunately turned out to be true. The U.S. has lost approximately 4,500 brave troops, tens of things. He goes on. So Trump's dangerous escalation brings us closer to another disastrous war in the Middle East that could cost countless lives and trillions more dollars. Trump promised to end endless wars, but this action puts us on the path to another one. Says who? We'll see. But that's a little early there, Mr. Prophet, apparently. Elizabeth Warren responded by writing on Twitter, Soleimani was a murderer responsible for the deaths of thousands, including hundreds of Americans. Stop there. So if Obama would have whacked him, this would be great. We'd be celebrating. But no, that's since Trump did it, she goes on. But this reckless move escalates the situation with Iran and increases the likelihood of more deaths in new Middle East conflict. Our priority must be to avoid another costly war. Who's talking about getting into a costly war, by the way? Andrew Yang came out, also another Democrat contender. War with Iran is the last thing we need and is not the will of the American people. We should be acting to de-escalate tensions to protect our people in the region. Perhaps they all want us to deliver another big plane full of cash. That's going to work. That's what was so funny to me. With the whole Obama administration's quote-unquote, negotiating with Iran, you have to understand that when you're dealing with militant Muslims, fundamentalist Muslims, there is no negotiation. Because you have to understand, Islam. You have to understand the teaching of Islam, and they've just ignored it or just didn't bother to learn. So like taqiyya, for example, is an honorable thing to lie to your enemy's face, which is why on during the week they would have negotiations and John Kerry and all, remember all that mess? They'd have all these negotiations and John Kerry would be, hey, we're making progress. And then on the weekend, the Ayatollah would come out and they'd be burning flags and effigies of Obama all in the course of the same week. So we negotiate with you and put on a happy face Monday through Friday, but on the weekend we burn your flag and we burn an effigy of your president, and that all goes together. And it actually does. For fundamentalist Muslims, fundamentalist Islam, that's the deal. And so can you actually negotiate with somebody like that? You cannot. Anything that you think is a negotiation is not. You're not going to get any truth there. And of course, Iran wasn't going to bow down to America's desires. So they're just going to keep playing their game. They're the number one terrorist state on the planet and need to be treated as such. And so this guy who has killed Americans has been planning the murder of Americans and is planning more murder of Americans is the guy that they took out. By the way, when it comes to a president's limited war action and ability, a couple of things, a little history here, if that matters anymore. So we have not, did you know this? How many wars have been declared since World War II? None. So for Congress and for Democrats all of a sudden to go ballistic, to saying, hey, this is a war action, you have to declare war by going through Congress. We haven't declared a war since World War II. That's ridiculous. You're a little late to the party on that complaint. But the president does have limited war actions. So when Kennedy went into Bay of Pigs, when Ronald Reagan did Grenada, and then when we did even Vietnam and Korea should have been, Korea obviously should have been declared wars. I think Afghanistan and Iraq ultimately should have been declared wars, but we just don't do that anymore. That's the power of the presidency, which I don't agree with to that extent. But the president has to have some limited war powers because what are you going to do? Especially in this highly charged partisan environment we're in now. Hey, the leader of the Quds forces, the Islamic Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guard, is landing at the airport this afternoon. We could have a clear shot on them. So let's get it in. Let's send a little note over to the committee in Congress and get their permission. See the problem? You can't operate like that. So the president has covert warlike powers. So history is on his side. And then let's go back to the untouchable, which for the liberal left is Barack Obama. Under Barack Obama, two terms, there were 563 drone strikes in which they killed 3,797 people, which included a subset of 324 civilians. So 563 smart bomb, smart missile drone in the sky over Yemen, Pakistan, and Somalia were out there under President Obama, killed 3,797 people in his two terms, which included 324 civilians. Where was Congress in that deal? Nowhere. Silent. Why? Because it was their guy. The Democrats, anyway. Where were the Democrats? Where was Congress? Nowhere. By the way, that was 10 times more strikes than Bush 43 in his two terms using that technology, which is exactly what Trump did. But the problem is not the guy they killed, not the way they killed him, not that it's the Middle East. The problem for the liberal left is it was Trump. And they're going to use anything they can. They're going to throw anything they can at the fridge and try to get it to stick because he just keeps beating them. And again, I'm not a MAGA hat wearing guy. I support Donald Trump and the administration as far as I can. There's things about the way he does business that I don't like, I think are unChrist-like. I've got some problems here and there, but overall, I'm very pleased with what the administration has done. Not perfect, and again, you're not going to see me wearing a MAGA hat. You don't see me with a Trump sign in my front yard because I don't need to burn bridges for the gospel over politics, and that's what that does. And some of you probably think, Steve, get a backbone. Really? I don't even entertain that kind of conversation, right? So they were right to do it. He was right to do it. And this guy is nasty. He's nasty. And all kinds of stuff. Iranian general killed in the U.S. strike responsible for 17% of American deaths in Iraq. So what do those deaths mean to us? You're responsible for 17% of the thousands of deaths of Americans in Iraq, and we just let you go? We don't do anything? This is from a Daily Wire article. In a stunning move that many analysts are calling a potential turning point in U.S.-Iran relations, President Trump ordered an airstrike early Friday in Iraq that killed an Iranian general that the U.S. State Department says is ultimately responsible for operations leading to 17% of all deaths of U.S. personnel during the Iraq War. Qassem Soleimani, head of the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, Elite Quds Forces, which has been designated a terrorist organization by the U.S. State Department. Remember, Obama was whacking terrorists all over the world. So Trump's just doing the same thing, okay? But it all depends on who's pulling the trigger, right? As reported by Fox News, the State Department announced in April of 2019 that Iran was responsible for the deaths of 608 U.S. soldiers during the Iraq War 2003-11. So this guy, largely in charge of all that, and we get an opportunity to kill him, and they killed him. He's a war criminal. He's a terrorist. Obama took out terrorists around the world. Trump is taking out terrorists around the world. Is that justice? Is that the rightful use of power for a government agency? Yes, when they're killing our citizens and they're killing our soldiers. That's exactly what the Bible's talking about, that the government doesn't bear the sword for nothing. They have the biblical right to punish unrighteousness. But it's just amazing to watch the left reply. And of course, this will be another impeachable offense, abuse of power, whatever. Now, what about the guy they're replacing him with? General Soleimani was named terrorist entity by Obama administration. Bragg, U.S. troops have suffered more losses than Iran. And then here's the guy that's replacing him, because this is like Hydra, right? They just cut one off, had to get another bad one in its place. Brigadier General Esmail Ghani, 62, the man replacing Soleimani as a leader of the Quds forces, which was designated a terrorist organization, has bragged of his country's supposed advantage over the United States, boasting that U.S. troops have suffered more losses from us than we have suffered losses from them. Just coming right out, admit, yep, we're Iran, our military forces, we've been killing Americans. And we don't do anything about that? You get an opportunity to cut the head off, you cut the head off. Is that assassination? Not inside of a war, it isn't. The war on terror, that's not an assassination. According to the Tasman News Agency, in October 2017, Ghani, his replacement, slammed recent comments by U.S. President Donald Trump and other U.S. officials against the Islamic Republic and said, quote, any nonsense they say will be to their detriment. He also allegedly stated, since the victory of the Islamic Revolution, we have never intended to wage a war against any country, but the global arrogance of the U.S. and its stooges have always sought for a battle. We do not welcome wars, but if anyone invades our country, he will learn a lesson that will no longer even think of aggression against Iran. Mm-hmm. Okay, sure, whatever. So I am in total agreement with what Donald Trump did in the military. They have way more information than any of us. They have more information than people in Congress. This guy's responsible for 17% of all the U.S. casualties, all the U.S. deaths in Iraq in the last between 2005, I think, and 2011. It was an 8-year period in there. You have an opportunity. You're at war. They're killing you. You don't have a choice. All for it. Not clapping, but all for it. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Great to be with you. Just another reminder, it's good to have our buddy Stephen Scoggins back in the studio for the first half of the show. Just has such a heart for people. He's come through a lot. And you know, and you know me, if you've been listening to the show long enough, I am very cynical. 12 years of radio will increase your cynical nature tenfold, 50-fold, 100-fold. So I'm very cynical. So, you know, you hear there's all kinds of good self-help things. Some of them are good, some of them aren't. And that it's just that phrase, self-help. We sit there and go, oh, no, here we go. And so there's all kinds of things out there. I mean, all over the internet, Facebook ads and YouTube, all this stuff. But Stephen Scoggins, he talks about, hey, I was homeless. He was. He was on the verge of taking his own life. He was. He was in a very, very bad place. And he had a wonderful gentleman that was starting to sew into him in a simple, most likely a simple business. He was in the contracting world, like I used to be in the contracting world, and framing and hanging siding on houses. And so he eventually was able to get some of his own equipment and his own truck, and he just worked. And then he learned along the way. He got involved with a lot of the Dave Ramsey leadership stuff. So he just, and then he just has a passion for people. He would not be in here if he was just some other self-help shyster guy. He wouldn't, none of them would ever get past me. So remember, I'm a gatekeeper. I'm here, number one, to serve the Lord, and number two, to serve you. So when it's books, when it's authors, when it's a ministry, It's got to come through me first. And I wouldn't do something on the air or suggest something to you unless I was free and clear on it from my own information and what the Holy Spirit is showing me. And I'm always filtering through stuff. So nothing gets on the air unless it goes through me. Just remember that. So when I say, hey, I think you should check this out, it's the total straight skinny. And you should definitely, if you're just feeling kind of stuck, and we can all be there. I wish I had known Stephen when I was running my own business 15 years ago. I didn't, because I needed help. Now, I don't know that I was humble enough at the time to admit it. But if you just kind of feel stuck and you need some help moving forward and breaking free and kind of, okay, I need something that kind of help me. And that could be at home. It could be in your job. It could be in your business, whatever the situation is. So that's coming up on Monday, January 6th. It's scheduled at the lunch break, which I think is a great idea. So 12 noon Eastern time. It's totally free. It's about 40 minutes. It'll just be Stephen sharing a lot of the basic principles that he's learned and put down on paper over all these years of coming through what he's come through. So if you want to check that out, just go to journeyprinciples.com/webinar, journeyprinciples.com/webinar. I've had many listeners in the past go through Stephen's programs and just they've been impacted deeply, which is awesome. And that's what he's operating out of. He wants to help people. So if you feel like you need that kind of help and need a little kickstart or need some help planning and just having some motivation, I hope you'll check that out. We were talking about Soleimani, who was just taken out not that long ago in Iraq, who's been responsible. They've figured out for about 17% of all the American deaths in Iraq in that area over the last several years. And they had a chance to take him out, and they did take him out. The left is going ballistic. They're talking about an abuse of power, as usual. They're talking about violating the Constitution. It's a declaration of war. I mean, it's just crazy. So you have to stop, breathe, and pay attention to the facts. Don't. And by the way, if you're on the quote unquote right, like I am, a conservative politically on the right, don't just go to a conservative website, Fox News or whatever, Daily Wire, Ben Shapiro, whoever, and just assume you can consume all that stuff without any filter. Remember, everybody's got flesh. Everybody's got a sin nature. Everybody's subjective. Nobody is purely objective. I would never tell you this is an objective show because it isn't. Do I have an agenda? Absolutely. Am I pushing a certain perspective? Absolutely. I do that in my classes. I tell them that. I tell parents that. I tell students that. Yes, I'm pushing an agenda. I have an agenda. I hope it aligns with God's agenda, with the kingdom agenda. But yes, I'm definitely trying to push us all in a particular direction, which is a proper application of a biblical worldview to every nook and cranny of life, be it politics, ministry, finances, personal lives, our struggles as men or as women, in marriage, with kids, whatever. So that's the deal, okay? So make sure you're doing your homework and checking stuff out. I decided today to do a little homework on an issue that has become a big deal. It's been a big deal for a while, but really a perfect and sad example of it happened all the way back in 1996. So I went to see the brand new Clint Eastwood movie. It's been out for a week or two now. Richard Jewell, which is not doing well at the box office, which is sad. Because this is an incredibly powerful story, very disturbing, about the power of the media and the power of the government to ruin anybody's life. So you got to go, that's July 27th, 1996. Okay, I'm reading a timeline from CNN, you know, because I'm an equal opportunity employer. An anonymous 911 call warns that a bomb will explode in Centennial Olympic Park in Atlanta during the Olympic Games. The caller says there is a bomb in Centennial Park. You have 30 minutes. The call is later determined to have been made from a payphone near the park. 22 minutes later, at 1:25 a.m., a 40-pound pipe bomb explodes. That's massive, okay? July 30th, Centennial Olympic Park reopens. July 30th, 1996, same year. Quoting an unnamed source, security guard Richard Jewell is named by the Atlanta Journal-Constitution as a suspect in the bombing. So they decide, based on some information from an FBI insider. Yeah, we're looking at Richard Jewell. Now, this is the same kind of stuff we see going on with Trump. But this can happen to anybody. So we need to catch somebody. Now there's somebody, a hero complex. He's a little awkward. He's not the sharpest knife in the drawer. Richard Jewell. He said some stupid things in the past. And all of a sudden, in the fog of that war, an FBI person says to a reporter, yeah, we're looking at Richard Jewell. Okay, well, wow. That's a story. And if you think the media had a voracious appetite in 1996 at an Olympic bombing on U.S. soil, Its appetite is far more ravenous today, and it does not care about who it's eating, be it the President of the United States or some simple-minded security guard working the Olympics. So it's a really sad story. So that gets leaked out in the press. Okay, now the press descends on Richard Jewell's life, which puts pressure on the FBI. This whole thing starts to feed on itself. That's July 30th. Then October 26th, fast forward a few months, it's announced by the U.S. Justice Department that Jewell is no longer a suspect. So from July 30th, and he's the one that told them, he's the one that found the backpack, he's the one that helped raise the alarm that they started to push people back. So instead of 100 people being injured and two people died, I think it was 111 injured, two people died, it could have been way worse. And this is the guy that found it. And says, hey, we need to get some bomb guys over here. And he's like kind of a, he thinks of himself as law enforcement. He had done several security kind of jobs. And like I said, I'm not trying to be ugly, not necessarily the brightest lamp on the street, but he cares about people and he's trying to help. So all of a sudden, he's the number one suspect, July 30th to October 26th. So August, September, all the way through the end of October, 3 months, and they destroyed his life. And then all of a sudden, fast forward a couple years, Eric Rudolph is named as a suspect in connection to the Olympic Park bombing. He had actually pulled off a couple other ones, and eventually they found him. They got him in 1998. So from 96 to 98, and eventually they get to Rudolph. And then, so you got the story of the media, which just is trying to, it's the early days of CNN. They're very competitive. You think it was competitive then? It's uber competitive now because of the internet. Just this voracious appetite. And to put something even more splashy, even more sexy, even more provocative. So they're so quick now because of the pressure in the industry to just print stuff. This happens. This will happen this November as they're all racing to call states first using exit polling, which is really bad. So that's the voracious appetite of the media, and it doesn't care who it's consuming. It'll ruin anybody. And then you've got the FBI on this side of it, which they are going down this road. So as you watch the Richard Jewell movie, of course, I was thinking of what's been going on with the Trump administration and with the FBI and with the fake FISA, lying to the FISA court and changing emails and lying to the federal court, the FISA court, in order to be able to go tap and spy on a member of Trump's campaign. That's the FBI and the Department of Justice. I've got a coffee cup that somebody gave me. It says, I love my country. It's the government I fear. And that's absolutely true. And we all have to remember that. Our founding fathers knew that they were creating something that had the potential to be a monster. That's why they had the separation of powers. That's why they had checks and balances. That's why they had three branches. That's why they didn't have a king. They'd been down that road. They knew because of the human fallenness of humanity, human depravity, that if anybody gets too much power, they're going to abuse it, most likely. And so you have to go into it with eyes wide open. And they designed the government to be somewhat inefficient and to have a lot of checks and balances. And with the House of Representatives, so that we could get to them and fire them every 2 years, the Senate provides a little more stability. It's brilliant. The constitutional republic we live in is brilliant. But it takes into account, which we don't much anymore, the sin nature of mankind. So do you think you can ultimately trust the FBI? I know there's a lot of great people, men and women, in the FBI. But do you think it's beyond reproach? Obviously, it is not. And it can be abusive and it can be dangerous. I think we're seeing some of the darkest days in American history right now in terms of the abuse of the government. And the power of the government, coupled with the power of a mostly left-leaning, to say the least, media. And this is a very dangerous combination. That's why one of the reasons the Second Amendment was there, one of the reasons separation of powers is there, checks and balances. But none of that stuff does any good unless you and I are paying attention. So we need to stay engaged for the good of our neighbor, for our own safety, for our own families. I hate to sound like a paranoid, backroom, schizophrenic guy that just sees a demon under every rock. I don't. But seeing the Richard Jewell movie just reminded me that our job is to pay close attention to what our government's doing and to remember that the media has a stake in the game. And you have to be cynical. And you can't trust things as far as you can throw them. And we need to remember that the Richard Jewell movie was a powerful reminder and pretty disgusting. Anyway, hopefully on Monday we'll have David Fisher back. He's been going through some health challenges. We'll talk about that. We'll do a Money Monday update. And a great show's coming up next week. Love you guys and appreciate you. God willing, we'll talk again real soon.